Again, Matthew chapter 26. And if you have your Bible, I would like to invite you. We make a little confession here, a declaration of our confidence in God to speak to us through His Word. And so I would like to invite you to join me and join us as we make this confession. The words are on the screen, and we'd like to ask you to say it out loud together with us. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. Thank you. Before I read the verses there in Matthew, I'd like to put two on the screen. This is really where the title of the message comes from. They're found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And I'd like to read them from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, either way, Christ's love, the name Christ really just means Messiah. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Verse 15, He died for everyone. So that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. This morning, I'd like to take that truth, and I started to say it a different way, but I'd like to say it a little more personal, and this is what I've titled it, and I hope that you will receive it that way. It'll be your truth today, and that is this. Like we would be speaking personally to the Lord, You died for me. I'll live for you. You died for me. By God's grace, I'll live for you. That's the only way we would ever do it, isn't it? We can't even live for the Lord without His help. But You died for me. I'll live for you. I want to go back and look at that verse just a moment, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. That word for controls in the Greek language is also translated constrains. The Messiah's love constrains. It's also translated compels. Christ's love compels us. And if you want to just write this verse down, I believe it's found in Luke 22, 63. And if Luke 22, 63 says that the men who held Jesus mocked Him and beat Him, you see the word held? It's the exact same word translated controls here in 2 Corinthians 5. The truth and the reality is that the love of Christ can be so powerful that it'll like arrest us. The Lord wants us to believe how much He loves us, receive His love in such a way that it gets a hold of our heart and leads us to live for Him. That's really what the idea is. That's what it means, that His love has got a hold on me and won't let me go. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for His love. I'm thankful for His unconditional, boundless, endless mercy and love. And I'm thankful on those times when I want to get a little stubborn or set in my ways or want to go off here or do that or harden my, that His love has hold and He won't just let me go. And He draws me back, and I thank God that He leads us back to Himself. The Bible says the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, leads us to that change, to that transformation, to get a hold of us. And isn't it good to remember how much the Lord loves us? Isn't it good to receive afresh, I mean daily, God's love, and then by His grace to renew ours for Him? So again, You died for me, I'll live for you. Would you say that with me? You died for me, I'll live for you. I want to just mention two items that are associated with the death of Jesus today, and then our response. Matthew chapter 26, the first item is the cup. I'd like to get us to focus on this cup that Jesus speaks of. In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36, the Bible says this. Then Jesus came with them, He had His disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and said to His disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. That was James and John. And notice it says he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What is this cup? He actually prayed that prayer three times. If it's possible, if there's any other way, what was this cup that would be so agonizing to the Son of God that three times he would pray to his Father that he could avoid it if it was possible? The Bible gives us the answer, but I wanted to, before I give you that verse, Gethsemane means an olive oil press. If you go to the Holy Land, that's one of the places where you will go. And what they would do is they take the olives and put them in a vat, and they take like a round stone, and they would roll them over the olives and crush the oil out of them. That first crush, that's like virgin olive oil. And I just believe God is such a God of details that even here in this place of an olive oil press, the Son of God feels the pressure of something that's coming on him. If you want to write this verse down, it's found in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. Luke 22, 44. The Bible says that Jesus, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That under such, doctors even will tell us that under such pressure that our blood vessels, capillaries, I guess, can break, and the blood will ease out of the pores of our skin with our sweat. And there he was saying, if there's any other way, if it's possible, what would cause the Son of God to have such an emotional, exceedingly sorrowful unto death, such mental anguish and such a physical response in his body that it was like his body was in a press and oil was coming out of him? The Bible gives us the answer. It's found in the book of Psalms and in the last book of the Bible. If you want to write this verse down, it's Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10, because we stay right there in Matthew. But the Bible gives these words. It says that he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. The Bible tells us that God is a holy God, and he cannot allow sin into his presence. And this cup that Jesus was trying to avoid was the cup of God's wrath against sin, against our sin. See, the problem for us is sin is in our hearts. That's why we break God's commandments. And the Bible says that the penalty for sin is death, and that's both spiritual death and physical death. We know what physical death is. Spiritual death is separation from God. And it is because we are separated from God that physical death entered the human family. People don't die because God's mad at them. People die because we've all been infected with the deadly disease of sin. And so sin is in our hearts. And maybe sometimes people have a hard time reconciling. You know, we hear a lot about God's love, but that God is a God of wrath. He has wrath against sin. Maybe this is a good way to picture it. God hates the sin that is so against his holiness that it separates us from him. Just like a loving parent who some have been through the heartache of a child with a deadly disease like cancer. And don't you know that parent would hate that disease with such fervency and intensity because they love their child with such great just depth and such magnitude. And that's the way God is toward us. And Jesus knew this was not just a little, you know, he's going to die physically. Jesus knew if he said yes to the Father's will and he drank that cup, that he would bear the judgment of God for the sins of the entire world. But thank God, he loved us so much that he drank that cup in our place. There's another verse again. If you want to stay right there in Matthew, I'll just give you one more on this about the cup. It's found in Hebrews 2:9. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Thank God. I wanted to have just this little chorus right here. And I know many times we stand when we worship, but you can just stay seated if you like. But I would just ask this. Would you just focus on the Lord? Then we'll look at this second item. The first one, this cup. Thank you. This verse says, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Amen. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. You died for me, I'll live for you. Would you say that with me? You died for me, I'll live for you. The second item, first the cup, the second item is the cross. The cup and the cross. Again, there in Matthew chapter 27, this time, Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 26. Matthew 27. And verse 26, we read these words. Then he, Pilate, released Barabbas to them, to the people, when he had scourged Jesus. He delivered him to be crucified. Why would you beat the man that you're condemning to die on a cross anyway? Scourged, whipped. The Bible prophesied in the book of Isaiah that he would not look human. Do you know that I understand that the human head can actually swell to twice its normal size when it's beaten that bad. And Jesus suffered this, you know, abuse and so forth. But what the Bible mentions more is not just the physical, but the suffering of his soul. Notice, if you would, again, just keep reading here, verse 27. The Bible says the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into to the praetorium, and when they had gathered the whole garrison around him, they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knees before him, and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. When they had mocked him, they took the robe off, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Then down in verse 38, now he's on the cross, and he's hung between two criminals. And it says that the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking. Notice how many times just the blasphemy, the mocking with the scribes and elders. And they said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe." No, they wouldn't. They would not. He gave them miracle after miracle. He said, "If you didn't believe in me for any other reason, you should believe for the signs and miracles that you see me do." And they still wouldn't believe because they had their heart and their mind hardened and closed to the Son of God. Jesus willingly said, "I'm going to drink the cup." And he willingly, along with the physical scourging and the crucifixion, hanging on a cross for 6 hours from 9 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the scripture emphasizes the suffering of his soul. Because the Bible says his soul would be the offering for our sins. And then the Bible says this in verse 45, Matthew 27, 45. It says, from the sixth hour, that was about noon, until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over the land. It was like darkness covered the whole land, that he didn't want his son be displayed in that way. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Please hear the cry of Jesus from the cross as his soul bears the judgment for our sins. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus made that cry so that we wouldn't have to. Thank God, as he suffered on the cross. The Bible says, you know, that God cannot and does not excuse sin. The sentence must be executed. So when the Bible says the penalty for sin is death, that's spiritual death and physical death, someone had to die. The price had to be paid. And when Jesus was on the cross, it wasn't just that he was nailed to the cross and then hung there. What happened while he was on the cross is that he loved me so much that he suffered and died for my pride. He suffered and died for our selfishness. It's put on him, not just physically, in his soul. He suffered and died for our stubbornness. He suffered and died for our idolatry, where we put other things above him. He suffered and died for our immorality. He suffered and died for our greed. He suffered and died for our cursing. He suffered and died for our slander and gossip. He suffered and died, as the Bible says, in the sins that would characterize the last days, for when we're unthankful and when we're unforgiving and when we're hardened and loving pleasure more than loving God and having a form of religion but denying its power. Jesus paid for it all so that we wouldn't have to, because he loved us that much. And thank God that though God doesn't overlook or excuse sin, because Jesus suffered and died in our place, God has already executed the sentence and we can be fully and freely forgiven. Thank God. Thank God. I love this scripture. If you want to write it down, it's Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away." Dead means spiritually dead, separated from God. "And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave you all our sins." Think about that. He forgave them all. You know, the ones that you wouldn't want to tell anyone else? You know, the ones you don't brag about? You know, the ones that would embarrass you for others to know? Like me? He forgave all our sins. I love this. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. See, the nails in his body weren't the only thing nailed to the cross that day. The Bible says all the charges against us, all the accusations, the condemnation, everything that was against us, Jesus nailed to the cross. And he took it on himself. And the Bible says that the very instrument that brought death to the Son of God is the very instrument of his victory and the instrument of our victory. And he publicly shamed the devil and all of his devilish forces by what he did on the cross. The devil thought he had won. The very act that he wanted to see Jesus die, Jesus conquered him in. And our victory is in the cross. Aren't you thankful for the cross today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this. Thank you for the cross. Can you picture your sin nailed to the cross and Jesus alive as Lord of all? Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb, seated on died for me. By your grace, I'll live for you. The cup and the cross, and now we have a choice. It's a choice that all of us make. If you want to write this scripture down and then turn over to Matthew 28, last chapter of that book, I'll read those verses in just a moment. Before I do, I'd like to read these two verses from Psalm 16. Because you see, from the start, since the Garden of Eden, God has given us a choice to believe him and do his will or not. He does not force himself on us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a gift. The gift is freely offered. We can freely receive and say, thank you, Lord. Or we can come up with every excuse and hindrance and reject his gift. But what a terrible thing to do. He drank the cup of wrath so that we could believe and drink the cup of salvation. The Bible says this in the 116th Psalm, verses 12 and 13. We read, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." That's our choice today, is that he drank the cup in my place and he died on the cross for my sins, but that's not the whole story. That would be a great account of love if he loved us that much, which he did, obviously. And we would just say, man, he loved me so much. That was great. I wish I could thank him, but he's dead. But he's not dead. Matthew 28, the Bible says this in verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back that stone from the door, and he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, these big guards, they shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women," he didn't speak to the guards, "he said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." Can you imagine the emotions that they were? I mean, they saw him die. They saw the condition he was in. And here they are going to put basically flowers and spices at the tomb. And there's an earthquake and there's an angel. And he says, "He's not here. He's risen. Go spread the word." Come see and then go and tell. I would invite you today, come and see. Come and see the empty tomb. Come and see the Jesus who loved you and died for you. Come and see the Jesus who is now risen and glorified, and give your life to him. The horror of the cross lets us know that we need the Lord to rescue us from sin and death. We have no righteousness to offer God on our own. We have nothing to bring to a holy God. If we did, this was all a waste. But what Jesus did was not a waste. It was necessary. But the hope of the living Savior and the hope of the empty tomb this morning is that Jesus is willing and able to save to the uttermost everyone who simply comes to him in faith. You died for me, I'll live for you. Would you say that with me? You died for me, I'll live for you. I want to close just to ask you this. Is God drawing you now? Is he drawing your heart? That's the key. The Bible says specifically we must believe in our heart. It's not enough to say, yeah, as a God, I believe Jesus, yeah, he loves me. No. It's got to be a heart faith, because the faith in the heart is what leads us to follow Jesus. But the first step is we've got to believe. Is God drawing you now? If there's any doubt, would you please respond to him to say, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I'm not right with you, but I believe you love me, and I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins, and I believe you raised him from the dead. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins and help me to live for you. I want to know you, and I want to follow you. You know, the Bible says when we believe, God's Holy Spirit enters us and indwells us. We can't live this Christian life on our own, but he helps us live for Jesus. He helps us get back up when we fall in sin. He helps us keep going when we feel like quitting. He helps us grow in Christ's likeness as we stay in close fellowship with Him. Maybe today there's someone here, maybe someone watching right now or listening, and you have come to the Lord and you are a Christian, but you know you're allowed yourself to drift away. You're not as close to God as you once were. God did not move. That's us. And I can tell you from personal experience, if you turn back to God, He's waiting with open heart and open arms to welcome you back where you belong. And He will help you and help us live for Him. Please, this morning, would you take whatever that step is to be right with God? Any sin that needs to be confessed, whatever it may be, would you just bring it to Him? Because the Bible says that Jesus loved us and died for us, and He said, the ones who are forgiven much, love much. How much has He forgiven you? If He hasn't forgiven you yet, He's willing. Will you come to Him with repentance? Just come to Him in faith and receive His forgiveness today. Receive His love, and then love Him and live for Him. This song says, how great the chasm that lay between us, and how high the mountain I could not climb. Would you just be at peace with the Lord right now? Let's just slow that down just a little bit. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into. Would you do that right now? Would you turn to Him? Then through the darkness Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine? Imagine so great a mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm Yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the One who set me. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in Your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the One who set me free. Hallelujah. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in Your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, Jesus, yours is the victory. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my lip. Let's sing it just one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, my living hope. Thank you, Lord. You died for me. I live for you by your grace. Thank you. Is there anyone today who would just say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me? And whether that's to give your life to Jesus right now, maybe to come back to close fellowship with the Lord, please let nothing stand between you and the heart of God right now. If you want prayer right now to say, Brother Rocky, I'm making that decision today, whatever it is. Would you lift your hand right there where you are? I'd like to acknowledge you and pray for you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. God is moving. Is God speaking to your heart? I'm not going to come embarrass you. I just want to lift you up in prayer. One more moment. I'm not asking you to respond to me. I'm only asking you to respond if God's Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. You'll know. He can go in areas I can't. But if He's speaking to your heart right now, anyone else, just I pray for you. All right. Let's join together. Our hearts in prayer right now. Lord, I thank you for each one. Lord, you did it. You moved on hearts. You've spoken and they've indicated that. And so I'd like to just lift them up before you today and even every day this week. Lord, I pray that you would just seal for eternity what you have done even right now and their response to you. For some, maybe it's just a closer walk coming back, maybe knowing that we've allowed some things to come between us. Maybe for someone, it's that first time that they're going to experience the full forgiveness of their sins and new life in Christ. And I thank you for that. And so I'm thankful you meet us at our point of need and draw us in your love and mercy. Thank you so much. Thank you you didn't give up on me. And Lord, thank you you don't give up on us. And help us to just stay close to you. Help us to pray, to worship, to seek you, to stay in fellowship so that we could live the life that you've called us to live, to glorify you. Father, I pray for even battles that they may be facing that are waiting for them, as they are for all of us. I pray for your grace to be with them right now. And Lord, let the victory that you won at Calvary be manifest in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, even now. Thank you, Lord. There is an empty tomb to assure us that this life is not all there is. And if we live with you and live for you, we'll get to be with you forever. Thank you for that. And we bless you and honor you today and give you glory. Would you say, Lord, I thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you conquered death and you live and reign as Lord. And right now, I ask for grace to help me to live for you, for your glory, to enjoy you and fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.